Well, let's turn together to the book of James, and let's continue in our series through this wonderful part of God's Word. We're just one message in. Last week we began the series, and now we're in the second one. And today we're going to talk about the wisdom we need. I know you're finding your place in James 1, but let me dive in and start reading, picking up in verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Last week, as we began our study through the book of James, we saw that there were two things that you and I should embrace right at the beginning. The first is this: we should embrace our status as servants. You and I talked about last week, we should joyfully accept that we have a Lord. We should live as the children of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we said that that lordship of Jesus should be very, very visible in our lives. Nobody should be questioning who's the leader of our life. Everybody should know, oh, I know who's leading them. It is none other than Jesus. Second thing we saw last time that we should embrace is suffering. Now, of course, we should pray for healing. We should pray for God to remove obstacles from us. We should do that. But when God allows suffering into our lives, you and I should embrace it. We should joyfully, in a sense, endure it faithfully, for sure, that God would work out his purposes through it. We're told as we endure, God will certainly bring about some important things in our life. There will be tremendous spiritual growth in our lives if we cooperate with the Lord in our times of struggling. In fact, remember with me verses 3 and 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then James takes that word lacking, and he springboards now into a new topic, and it's a topic of wisdom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Who's he talking about? Oh, he would be talking about all of us. All of us inherently lack wisdom. And especially in times of trial, you and I especially need this wisdom from God. In times of trial, you and I sometimes can be groping in the darkness. Lord, what is it that you're doing in these circumstances? I don't like this. I don't see anything you're doing. And we become painfully aware, Lord, I need some wisdom outside of my own. Also in times of trial, sometimes we're susceptible to deception like no other time in our lives. When hard times come and we're put back on our heels, we begin to question things on an emotional level. We might say, Lord, I'm not so sure that you love me. If you would let this come into my life, no, I'm actually quite sure. You must not love me. And we're being deceived, because that's not true. God does love us. Sometimes it's on an intellectual level. At a time of adversity, we're lacking wisdom. We say, on an emotional level, Lord, I don't know that you love me. On a thinking level, we're thinking, well, Lord, I don't know. Maybe you don't have the power. Maybe you didn't know this was coming. And we have wrong thinking related to God. Certainly, sometimes on the behavioral level, we can go this way. Then we think, well, this hurts so much. What's going on in my life? I'm going to go find some pleasure for myself. I'm going to chase after some things that will make me feel good. And what we do in those times when we turn from God and we start chasing after things that make us feel better, oftentimes we make it the situation much worse, don't we? That's where people turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to immorality. And they find, wow, I didn't think this was going to end up so bad. I was just looking for some comfort. So some people do that looking for pleasure. Some people actually get bitter in their times of adversity. And they'll just say, listen, if God's dealing with me like this, then I'm turning on God and I'm going to go live my own way. But listen, this is foolish. At the time you need God the most, by turning to sin instead of to him, you're creating distance from the very one who loves you, who wants to help you. So in suffering, in all of our trials and all of our temptations, we need wisdom. The Greek word here is Sophia. This word, wisdom, we kind of know this word. We know it has in its core the idea of good judgment. We know it involves knowledge, but it's not the same as knowledge. It involves knowledge, but it's so much more. Listen to how one person described it. Knowledge is what is gathered over time through the study of scriptures. It can be said that wisdom, in turn, acts properly upon that knowledge. Wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Listen to this. Knowledge understands the light has turned red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves him. We read in the scriptures over and over again that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So you and I would be the people say, oh, I know he exists. That's knowledge. But not just do I know he exists, I'm now relating to him on the basis of the utmost respect. I know him. I fear him. I want to get to know him better. I want to follow after him. You and I need this wisdom. But then the question comes, where do I get this wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, we say, sign me up. I lack it. Where do I go get it? Oh, we're supposed to ask of God. Notice verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here's an acknowledgement that wisdom is not automatic. You must want wisdom in order to get it. You must understand that you don't possess it on your own. I love this. In Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7, it says this, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. I love it. What's the beginning of wisdom? Yes, fearing God. But also the beginning of wisdom is go get yourself some wisdom. You have to have it. I like this, Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. So we need wisdom. God says, come get it from me. But you know, many people don't want wisdom. They want none of it. They want to be foolish. They believe that their foolish ways are paying off. Sometimes you see them out there on Instagram. Sometimes out there on Snapchat, thinking that nobody's seeing. But it's like, look at me. I am a fool. I'm going to live crazy. I don't want the things of God. I'm going to party. I'm going to be immoral. I don't care. And here it is. And if you were to come to that person, and by the way, still try, but if you were to come to that man or woman and you say, hey, listen, would you like some wisdom instead of the path you're going? No. I don't want your lame wisdom. I'm having the time of my life. This is where I'm going. They have no idea of the destruction that they're heading toward. Still try, but you know how this goes. Many times you try to help a friend in such a situation, and they want the foolishness. Other people say, well, I don't want the wisdom you're espousing from that book, but I want to take a different type of wisdom. I want wisdom, just not what you're describing. Listen, that's also not wisdom. There is only one wisdom, only one source of wisdom. It might be packaged a little differently, and it looks a bit like wisdom, but it's not. Recently, Joy was shopping for a birthday card for our oldest daughter, Hillary, who just turned 26. And you know how it is when you go shopping for a card. Oftentimes, you can't find the perfect card. Occasionally, that happens. Maybe once every 10 years, you find that Hallmark nailed it perfectly. But usually, they get it almost right. So Joy found this great card that she did purchase, but it had one fatal flaw. And she took care of that fatal flaw. She wrote in on the card. You ever done that? This card's almost perfect. Let me scratch out a word. Let me write in a word, and this would be the ideal card. And so that's what she did. Here was the fatal flaw in the card we purchased and gave to Hillary. It said something like this, let your heart be your compass. Said a bunch of great things, but do you hear the fatal flaw there? All these great things, and let your heart be your compass. That is horrible. You say, what's so horrible about that? That sounds so poetic. I mean, we hear that kind of talk all the time. Listen, your heart being your compass, that is the exact opposite message from Christianity. That's unbiblical. That's the heart of the problem, that we have a problem in our heart. Our heart makes a lousy compass. It's the worst thing you would want to say here. A disciple of Jesus Christ thinks absolutely opposite that. So Joy wrote in the word, let the Lord be your compass. Scratch heart, put Lord there. You don't want your heart to be the compass. Listen to what the Word of God says about our hearts. This is not, I'm not preaching at you. This is all of us. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick, who can understand it? You couldn't ask for a worse compass for your life than your own heart. Your heart is faulty when it comes to wisdom. And what's the way I should go? You and I should seek wisdom, and we should seek it from God. Let God be your guide. Let his word be your compass. Now, why are we to seek this of God? Well, he's telling us to, but why else? Well, he's the one who possesses wisdom. I love what it says in Proverbs 3:19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Or Romans 16:27, Paul said, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. So we go to God for wisdom because he is the source of it. But also notice this, he delights to give it. That's what we find here in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, listen to this, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God delights to give wisdom to those who seek it. And he says it doesn't matter who you are, he's not going to play favorites. If you're seeking wisdom and you come to God, he will give you this. It's a guarantee. And he will give it to you in an abundant measure, but you have to ask for it. God loves it when you ask for wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we have this amazing occasion when God himself speaks to the new king Solomon, and he says this dream, he gives this dream opportunity to Solomon. He says this, ask what you wish me to give you. Do you remember as a kid, sometimes somebody asks you, hey, what would you ask for if you got three wishes? And if you're smart as a kid, you always say, I'd ask for three more wishes, right? And you just think, what a dream. And you just think, what would I do if I could ask for anything in the world? Listen, Solomon had that, not from some fictional genie. Solomon had this from God himself. Solomon, ask me what you want me to do for you. And Solomon could ask for anything. And here's what he said. Now, O Lord my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? God loved that request from Solomon. God said to him, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for great riches. You asked for wisdom. So Solomon, in your case, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you extraordinary wisdom like nobody else has ever had. And I'm going to give you long life. And I'm going to give you riches. Do you hear how delighted God is when somebody comes and says, God, I lack wisdom. I need it from you. And I know you're the source of it. I'm coming to you. You and I should be asking God for wisdom. We're also told here we should ask in complete faith. He said, if you're going to ask this of God, don't have any doubting in your mind. Why is that? Listen, if you don't know God wants to load you up with wisdom, if you don't know that you have a God who wants to guide you, then you have a misunderstanding at the very heart of your knowledge of God. You're double-minded, the scripture says, if you don't believe God would answer this request. You're double-minded if you think that you don't need this wisdom, that, well, the world's wisdom will be enough for me. Listen, don't doubt God's desire to give you wisdom. Don't doubt that God will answer this prayer. And don't doubt that God is the source of all wisdom. In fact, you can't be unsure that God knows best. Maybe that's you today. I'm not so sure. I've got all kinds of opinions bombarding me, and I'm not sure that God really is the source of all wisdom. I'm not sure that God knows best and wants the best for me. James would say, oh, you're unstable. You're unstable in all your ways if you're unclear about the nature of God who wants to guide you. He knows best. He wants the best for you. But you and I have to nail down which wisdom we want, the wisdom of the world or his wisdom. We find a couple of passages that deal with this, that they're diametrically opposed systems, both called wisdom. You and I have to make our choice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we find these verses. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. He goes on to say in this passage, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. We're going to see this in a few weeks, but in James chapter 3, he talks about the same dichotomy. There is a wisdom of the world and there's a wisdom of God. You have to choose. James 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, listen, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Two different systems. James says there's a wisdom from beneath. And notice how he describes it. It's earthly. It's natural. Did you notice? It's demonic. You don't want that wisdom of the world. You want a wisdom that comes from above. That's strange talk, isn't it? You and I live in a hyper-pluralistic culture, meaning a hyper-version of the idea that, listen, everybody's okay, and everybody's viewpoint is equal, and it's the worst possible thing to say that you have found the truth and that others need the truth. That's like the worst thing you can say in our culture. We're told coexist, we're told be tolerant, and that means everybody's equal, nobody's worldview, nobody's thinking is better than anybody else's. But listen, that's in contradiction to what God is saying over and over again. God says, if you want wisdom, you need to come to me. God doesn't say, listen, I'm just one of the options for you. I created you to be one of the options that you might choose. I gave my son to die for you on a cross and be raised up from the dead to offer you everlasting life, but you can take it or leave it. My wisdom's really no better than anybody else's. No, over and over again, God says, you must come to me. I love you. I want to load you up with guidance. I want to bless you with my leadership. In 1 Kings chapter 22, we read an interesting time when King Ahab, a bad king over Israel, wants to go to war. He wants an alliance with Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he says, Judah, will you come? Jehoshaphat, will you fight with us? He said, yeah, we're your brothers. We'll fight with you, but first, let me ask of God. And so Ahab, if you know him, not a good man, he assembles 400 of his prophets, false prophets, and they gather together, and Ahab asks, should we go to war? And the 400 false prophets give their opinion. But then Jehoshaphat says this, 1 Kings 22:7, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? In other words, I hear your prophets, these false prophets, I hear them giving their opinion, but I haven't heard from God yet. Do you not have one genuine prophet, one who speaks for the God Most High, the real God? I'd like to hear from him before I make such a decision to join you in battle. You and I need to be that type of inquirer. Everybody's chattering. Everybody's telling us, go this way. Everybody's in lockstep. You and I need to be the people who break from that and say, wait a minute, I haven't heard wisdom until I hear from my God. I hear you. So listen, those of you who are in school, if 400 of your friends line up and say, come with us, this is the way to go, you need to say this, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you all the time. I know the philosophy, I understand, but I need to hear from my Lord. Haven't heard wisdom until I hear from my Lord. Others might say, well, I'm really into music and the arts and Hollywood and all that. And so 400 actors and 400 musicians, they all tell me what they think. And we go, I'm very familiar with the philosophy that they're presenting. But I haven't heard wisdom yet. I need to hear from God himself. I haven't heard wisdom till I've heard from him. 400 politicians. Can 400 politicians be wrong? Oh, yeah. 400 politicians say, this is truth, this is the way. We go, I'm well aware of what you're saying and even how you guys debate among yourselves, but I'm looking in a different direction for wisdom. God, what do you say on this matter? What about 400 protesters chanting in unison? We say, I hear you and still love you, but I'm going to turn to my God. I've got to hear what he says because he's the source of wisdom. 400 bloggers, 400 professors. Okay, I hear you. I'm listening. But I'm seeking wisdom from another source. I'm seeking God. Until we've heard from him, we have not heard wisdom. Seek wisdom. Seek it from God and seek it from God alone. Choose wisely how much weight you're going to give to the opinion of your friends and from other people around you. I'm seeking the Lord. Otherwise, we're double-minded. Otherwise, James says, you are unstable. You and I can't be people who sort of want the wisdom of God. Lord, I don't know. Sometimes I want to follow my friends, and sometimes I do want your word. No, we've got to settle this. Today is a perfect time to do this. In fact, look around at the world and the philosophies they follow. It's not working. We come back and say, oh, God, I will trust in you. Listen to the biblical worldview. This is the only worldview that makes sense. We have a God. And this God made us. And this God loved us. Even though we are broken in sin, here's a God who pursues us, who gave his own son to take the penalty for our sin. And we just celebrated that at the Lord's table. And who was raised up from the dead. This is an amazing God. And he says, if you'll trust in me, I will adopt you into my family. I'll cleanse you of all your sin. I'll give you a home forever in heaven. But listen, to take him up on that offer, we have to reject the wisdom of the world. What's the wisdom of the world? You're an accident. You weren't created. You are just here by random chance. That's the philosophy of the world. Your life has no meaning because you're just here by a big cosmic accident. And at the end of your days, your heart will stop beating and you won't exist anymore. You're just emptiness after that. Listen, we turn away from that. That is not wisdom. That's the wisdom of our age. I agree with James. That's demonic. That's hopeless. That's not the message of your God. We say, I turn from that, that I might have hope indeed, that I might have life indeed through Jesus Christ. Drop everything else that you might have Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. John 3:16 and following. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Now listen to this. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's the ultimate in foolishness. That light comes into the world, and you say, I don't want the light. Give me darkness. And Jesus said, that's what most of the world does. He said, I didn't come in the world to judge the world, but the world is already judged because that's their heart. That's the philosophy of the world. I don't want the light. I don't want that wisdom. So listen, today, would you clarify with me? God is a God who's the source of the wisdom we need. And he tells us to come to him. And we come boldly because we know he's going to answer this prayer. And we say, God, give it to me. And let me give you one final word, and it's this one. Open your Bible. I don't mean this morning because you already did that likely, but it would be an insincere prayer for wisdom if you say, God, I need wisdom, and then we don't open up the Bible regularly. Wouldn't that be an unusual thing? God, I want wisdom from you. And the first thing I think he'd say to you is, open the Bible. I inspired this and I preserved this from you and I can load you up with wisdom. That's the whole point of the book. So it's an insincere prayer. We're being unstable, double-minded. We say, God, I want wisdom, but I'm just too busy to open that book of yours. Listen, that's a different thing than somebody who sincerely says, I don't know where to start. Could you help me? Yet we want to help you with that. In fact, use that connection card. Jim, I hear you. I know that I need wisdom. I know that's why God gave the word. I don't know how to do it. I've tried before. I've stumbled there. Listen, connection card. Say, help me with how to study the word. Listen, I'll sit down with you personally or one of our pastors or one of our deacons or one of our life group leaders. We will make it happen where spend about an hour together. You can feed yourself for the rest of your life through this amazing treasure of God's word. But listen, open the word of God. We might even say that's the ultimate foolishness to say, I do believe this is God's word, but I won't take time to read it. That might be the ultimate foolishness. Maybe only second to this one, to actually hear the word of God and choose not to do it. In fact, that's what Jesus said, right? In Matthew 7, he said, a wise man is a person who hears these words of mine and he acts on them. He said, that person is like a person who's built his house upon the rock and the storms come and beat against the house and that house stands. He said, oh, but a foolish man. He's the one who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. He's like a man who built his house upon the sand, and the storms came and beat on that house, and great was its fall. So what's our move today? First move is this: I'm responding to Jesus. Jesus gave his life for me. He can forgive my sins. He can get me through safely the judgment to come. I trust Jesus. Nothing more foolish than resisting and refusing your rescue. Trust in Jesus. Accept his offer of forgiveness. Second move: and Lord, and now as your child, I'm going to seek you every day. I'm going to follow after you. You are the wise one, and I need it. And I'm going to take up your word, and I'm going to walk according to it. Let's pray. God, what an amazing God you are, that you are generous, that you gladly give wisdom to those of us who seek it. Lord, we acknowledge what we read earlier, that left to ourselves, our hearts are deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. God, thank you that you offer forgiveness, you offer a new life. Guide us, take over, lead us, Lord, according to your ways. We love you, thank you for what you offer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.